The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Good evening. It's been a busy offseason for the Chicago Bears. Alongside Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, welcoming you aboard to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. You can up at 312-644-6767. You can also tweet questions to us using the hashtag CB Network. Guys, since the end of last season, the Bears have gotten a little defensive this offseason. They've signed 15 defensive players since that loss to the Packers. Some of them are familiar names like Charles Tillman and Tim Jennings. Some are new names like Lamar Houston and Ryan Mundy. And some are guys that will help out the competition and depth of your team. We'll start with you, Jim. Where do you think the Bears are headed after what they've done so far from a defensive standpoint?
Well, I think, I think you definitely see the focus on the defensive side of the ball. That's what Phil Emery has targeted so far this offseason, and we all know the reasons why. There's a defense that slipped from third in the National Football League down to 28th in the National Football League, really struggled with the pass rush, and we've always talked over the past couple of years about an aging defense, so it's about getting younger. And that's what a lot of teams have done over the past couple off seasons under the new collective bargain agreement. You're getting better deals with the younger players when you lock them up long term. Think Lamar Houston hasn't reached his potential in the National Football League. I think there's a young up-and-comer in terms of a pass rusher when you look at Willie Young, who they signed from the Detroit Lions. And then we always talk about competition on your roster, adding depth to your roster. All those guys, when you hear of Ryan Mundy and Sherrick McManus, who they re-signed, you bring back special teams demons like Craig Steltz. They're all going to be competitive and make for a solid group of special teams. So I think overall, Bears have been active over the past couple years of free agency, and Phil Emery's been no different here in 2014.
I believe the same thing. I think you kind of pump up the spirits of a guy like Lance Briggs when you bring back Charles Tillman. And I think Charles Tillman's important to this overall success of the locker room. He talk about a competitor, and if you're going to go in there and compete against Charles Tillman, both as a wide receiver in training camp, but as a trying to be an understudy, trying to, you know, learn from a seasoned veteran like Charles Tillman, when you talk about bringing guys within your own ranks back, it does a lot to support the locker room, just like I think DJ Williams will help. Here's a guy that I think showed a lot to the Chicago Bears fans when he initially missed some training camp time last year and then came and was able to start the first game of the regular season. And you talked about the new players coming here. It's about starting competition. You come here to the Chicago Bears when you sign here to earn a starting position. And I think that's what the opening is, and that's why it was attractive to a lot of free agents. And then one more step. I still believe that when we talk about the draft, we're going to be talking about a high-drafted defensive player. And then that adds a different dynamic to it, not only in the locker room, but your position in the draft, what you mean to the competition, and if you're assumed an immediate starter, that always changes the way veterans look at things. So I really like the direction of the Bears have gone specifically to make sure that when they start OTAs and get everybody together, that they have defensive personnel that can be competitive up and down the board.
Register today, priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. We're talking Bears on Bears All Access. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you. Guys, do you have a better idea, and we'll start with you here, Jim. Do we have a better idea based on the personnel that the Bears have brought in? Just exactly what kind of direction they're going with in terms of the defense that they're actually going to run. I know what they said at the combine, they want to be a 40 front, but does that jive with the personnel that they brought in?
Well, I think the one position that's lacking, I would still think that defensive tackle has to be addressed, because Tom and I talked last week, as versatile as what we think Jay Ratliff is, who do they have as the big space eater, the dominator, in terms of a one technique, commanded double teams and things like that. So if you put Jay at a three technique where he could be a penetrator. So to me, it's a beefy defensive tackle that is missing. I don't think we'd call Stephen Payette that type of guy. I don't think we'd look at Jay Ratliff as that type of guy. So I think it's a big, beefy space here, because if you're in a 40 front or even a 30 front, you need somebody to command the double teams, and I think that is still lacking and probably will be targeted in the 2014 draft.
I agree with Jim. I think penetration on the inside to make either the running game or the quarterback uncomfortable immediately is the way your defense is ultimately going to succeed. But I do think that as we start winding towards the regular season, you may see a defense that plays specifically to down and distance. You're not going to get a four-man line every time they're in second and eight. They may have different variations of how they want to rush a specific weakness in the offense, a specific weakness maybe in the quarterback. He doesn't roll so well to one side or the other. I do think if you can go out there and you can get that dominating concern in the middle right over the head of the center, now you do have the ability to play the defensive front that you need most against your opponent on that specific play.
When we look at some of the defensive players that the Bears lost, Henry Melton was very productive prior to getting injured. The season before, he was a Pro Bowl player. Julius Peppers, prior to last season, had been very productive. But essentially, the Bears did not get the same kind of production from either guy, whether it was because of poor play or injury last season. They still have to replace what they had with those guys a couple of years ago, don't they, Jim?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Henry is a talented defensive tackle, but he's coming off injury. He's the product of the Dallas Cowboys, and probably good for him to reunite with Rod Marinelli. And again, I think it goes back to Mel Tucker wanting to put his stamp on the defense. Those are players that were really drafted for a Tampa 2 style of defense and what Lovie Smith had ran for so long for the Chicago Bears. And now it's going in a new direction with different concepts and different schemes on what they're going to ask players to do moving forward. And, you know, even when you look at, say, a Tampa 2 style of defense, there very rarely was a beefy defensive tackle. I don't think any of those guys were over 300. And I believe with Mel Tucker, and you look at his history, whether with Cleveland or even with Jacksonville, they had big defensive tackles. So that's where I see it going, and that's where I target a big space eater that they need at the D-tackle position.
Yeah, I agree. You know, talking specifically about Henry Melton and Julius Peppers, if you want to go back and you want to have an honest evaluation of their play according to if they fit in your plans, the last picture of Henry Melton playing on film was not impressive enough to bring him back here
right.
to come in here and compete, and I feel the same about Julius Peppers. But they got to be very aggressive decisions made. It's nothing personal in any way, shape, or form against Henry or Julius, because they both, you know, have accomplished great things in the NFL. But if you're looking to make a plan of attack that is going to fit in your system against the opponents that you have in your division, I think the Bears have been, in a spot where they're upgrading the talent initially.
Coming up next, guys, we will spend a little bit more time further dissecting the people that the Bears currently have on their defensive line. With Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Win the ultimate VIP experience to the 2014 Chicago Bears Miller Lite Draft Party presented by Chase on Friday, May 9th. Miller Lite is offering one lucky fan tickets. This sold-out draft party, autograph and picture with a Bears player, and more. Visit ChicagoBears.com now to sign up. Zach Zabin, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you, talking Bears for essentially the next hour here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We get about as hardcore Bears as you get on any show on the radio, and we are pleased to welcome to the program one of the 15 players that's been signed to play defense for the Bears this offseason. That would be a familiar face, defensive tackle Nate Collins. And before we get to how's the knee and what he expects to do this upcoming season, I don't know if Tom and Jim are aware of this, but Nate is a mega Virginia Cavalier fan.
Oh, man. Before,
yeah.
Let me jump in. I did my research, and I believe Jim is a Spartan, isn't he?
Yeah, we were the ugly ducklings 3 weeks ago, and now everybody's picking us as a NCAA favorite in the basketball tournament.
Don't say everyone, because all roads, they have to go through Virginia. And I already booked my flight to New York for the Sweet 16 next Friday night, who I'm hoping we're playing the Spartans so we can get some respect. We have the best defense in the country, and it is not going to be a cakewalk for Michigan State, as everyone thinks it's going to be.
Be careful what you wish for, my friend. Good to talk to you, Nate. Well, maybe let's talk a little football here. We can finish up with basketball as well. But, you know, just maybe your thoughts. Can you give our listeners maybe any inkling from your standpoint? Because you played with Mel Tucker down in Jacksonville as well. Where do you see this defense going for the Chicago Bears?
I love what's going on in the defense. I really love the guys we picked up, how they play. I've been watching tape actually on them and seeing tapes on these guys, and I'm just excited, man. Lamar is a real, real great player that's going to help us out, and so is Willie Young. And Willie Young is a guy I played in the East-West Shrine Game with. And I remember seeing him play there, and he played at NC State, so played against him in college. And I like his game, and it's one of those things where for a D-tackle, just knowing you're going to have ends that are going to be able to get up the field and make the quarterback step up, that's all you want is a D-tackle. And if you're doing what you're supposed to do, that's just going to push more plays to the middle. And I feel like what they're doing on the defense, the Bears organization this year, with their pickups, is right on the money of where we need to be. We know that last year we took a step back in the defense, and it was something that Chicago isn't really used to. And I think that everyone knows that. So we're trying to make an emphasis that we're trying to get the defense back to what everyone is used to. And I think that we took a step in doing that. Obviously, we have to wait and see how everything is going to work out and get the chemistry and things like that. But I have a real good feeling about this season coming up.
Nate, I got a question for you. You know, when you talk about bringing in veterans, Lamar Houston and Willie Young, and they're coming in. Last year when I watched training camp with Mark Trestman for the first time, I couldn't believe the pace of practice. You're going in and out of periods so quickly. Is that a message that you've been able to give these guys? Because expect a little different in practice tempo than what you're maybe used to before you ever came to a Coach Trestman training camp?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a little different. But one thing I do like is that with Trestman, we go good versus good. I mean, obviously everyone on the team is good, but usually the way practice is handled, you have your first team going against maybe a scout defense or the second team defense. But with Coach Trestman, he goes ones versus ones, which I feel like was different. And a lot of guys didn't really know how they were going to feel about that, how that was going to go. But I felt like that really, really helped us out in the long run last year. And I feel like it was beneficial for everyone, because when it comes game time, obviously you're going to go against guys that are – I mean, you're going to go against starters. And I feel like just doing that alone helped out a lot last year.
Nate, I remember we're visiting with Bears defensive tackle Nate Collins. Nate, I remember talking to you last year, and you mentioned at the time that you had to undergo surgery. That was the first surgery on your knee, the ACL, the first time you'd undergone any kind of real surgery in your life, right?
Any surgery. That was my first one. I mean, I had my tonsils out. I don't know if that's considered a surgery. I think it is minor. But other than that, yeah, this was my first surgery, and I can tell you that just knowing that I had to go through it, I was terrified. I just didn't. It's one of those things. I'm a guy, I've never really been injured or hurt, so it's one of those unsure feelings. But now, 5 months out, I'm feeling great. And the guys at the facility, Chris Hanks, and I've been working with Will Rogers personally now since Bobby, he left and got the Tampa job. But they're doing a great job, and I'm just getting better. I'm getting stronger, getting my confidence back, and I know for a fact now that I'm going to be 100% ready. When training camp comes, I shouldn't have to sit out at anything. And I'm pushing so I can make these last mini camps at the end of June. And to show the coaches and show my teammates that even though I did get hurt, that I'm gonna be ready to produce and help this defense get back to where it needs to be.
Well, in terms of the rehab, have you had to temper yourself, or are you already running? Where at specifically are you? Can you do any cutting drills yet, Nate?
Well, that's what we're working on now. I'm running very well when it's straight ahead, and we've been doing some number runs, which incorporates weaving and things like that. But it's a step by step process. It's one of the things, and I feel like that's the biggest thing. Our trainers are telling me you just got to be patient. It's something, even though you never want to get hurt, but it was a somewhat good situation that when I did get hurt, it was early enough that I'm not trying to push just to make it to the season or make it to be ready for training camp. I'm at a point now that I know I'm going to be ready for training camp, so I just have to be smart. I have to listen to my body. If my knee is sore or I'm feeling discomfort and things like that, I just know that I have to be honest with my trainers and honest with myself so that I don't have any setbacks this far into my rehab when it's going this well.
You know, now I want to fast forward a little bit to when you are healthy, because last year when you came here, they had a franchise defensive tackle. And now this year, it seems like you've created a real opportunity for yourself, not to come in as a competitor, but come in as a competing starter. That's why I want to fast forward when you are 100%. Are you coming in here knowing that this defensive tackle position is open and they're looking for candidates to come up here and be the starter on play one? Is that the mindset you have coming into after 100%?
Absolutely. That's my mindset all the time. I'm a guy that I just feel like there's always an opportunity to get better, and there's always an opportunity to try to earn your keep. And I'm a guy, like, starting isn't that big of a deal to me. Like, a lot of people say, like, oh, you don't really mean that. But as long as I get a chance to be in the game and help this team out and help this team win, that's all I'm worried about. And that's my biggest concern right now, is to get healthy so I can be on the field and grind with my brothers. It was one of the toughest things in the world, getting hurt and just having a perspective to be on the sideline and going through surgery and going through rehab and just watching, and just it made me really appreciate the game a lot more, just knowing that that could have been a career, and this could have been a career in an injury, and you can't take it for granted. So I'm just looking forward to getting back out there and just having the chance to compete. And I just know for me that I'm a guy, all the time when I'm on the field, I'm trying to – every play I'm supposed to make, I'm trying to make every gap, every scheme, everything that I'm supposed to do, I'm trying to do it spot on so that I can help the guys around me make plays and also help myself make plays.
Nate, I love your motor and the way you play. Same with Jeremiah Ratliff. Even Izzy coming back, he's kicked down and played defensive tackle. But prior to you coming on the show, I brought this up, and I always just look at history of coaches. When I always think of Mel Tucker, I think of the big space-eating defensive tackles that your buddy, Pot Roast, down there, Terrence Knighton in Jacksonville.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, do you see that being added to the mix? Because I think on third downs, you guys already have the guys that can get after the quarterback, as you just mentioned. Do you think a space-eating defensive tackle could be added to the mix, just the history of Mel Tucker, your DC?
Who knows? Like, I let them worry about all that. Like, that's something that I obviously right now, especially going through rehab, I'm not really worried about any of that, but who knows what could happen. I know inside, I know me, Steven, and Jeremiah, we can be very stout, and it was a situation last year. I just feel like a lot of guys got hurt at the wrong time, and I feel like that it was a great example of how much of football is a team sport, just by a couple of guys getting hurt. Not necessarily that other guys aren't as good or everything like that, but all it takes is one guy to be not sure about certain plays and bad things happen. And I feel like that was a situation for us that happened last year. But I really feel like with our D tackles that we have, with me, Steven, and Jeremiah, we're guys that we're essentially three down D tackles that can play a run and rush the passer. And I feel like at the end of the day, that's what Mel Tucker, he wants, and all the coaches want. And if they bring in a guy and he's going to help, then that'll be great too. It doesn't matter what size it is, I feel like.
Nate, I want to get off the grid a little bit, because you talked about the competitiveness in training camp when you guys were ones against ones and stuff. And you guys were really competitive on the inside. Can you tell us a little bit about the Bears fans, about the potential of the Bears offensive line? You got to go against them. You got to see Kyle Long early in his career and then Jordan. Now you have a chance to watch them a season removed. What do you think of the offensive line, and where can they go to help this team?
Man, it's so funny, because I was talking to Matt Slauson about this. Just, it was incredible just watching them gel. And I know, like, when you started training camp last year, and obviously I knew Kyle, but I didn't really know Jordan Mills. And when you hear him, if you're a fan, when you hear, oh, the Bears are going to start two rookies on the same side of the offensive line, you're kind of like, oh, how's that going to work? And these guys were fantastic. And I feel like during practice, and just like we were saying, going against them day in and day out at a high tempo during practice really, really helped out our game. Kyle going to the Pro Bowl, going against him every day, and I felt like I was just getting better and better. And I feel like it's the same thing. Like, they're a great group, and I feel like it's going to help us out a lot more. And now that they have a year under their belt, I feel like they're just going to take off running next year, or this year coming up. And I'm excited. I'm excited for the season. I'm excited to see them work again and for them to protect Jay and just to have our offense really be a powerful offense in the league that people aren't used to. But I feel like we're filling in all the puzzle pieces where we need to right now as a team. And looking forward to a good season.
Nate, before we let you go, yesterday on Twitter, you had a lot to say. And one of the things, and I'm sure you know where I'm going here. Yesterday, you tweeted, N-word rule is going to ruin someone's season next year. How are officials going to be positive someone said it versus something sounding like it?
Absolutely. I feel like that's putting the referees in a tough, tough spot. And it's one of those things where I don't know how you can possibly police that on the field. Like, with hearing, I can barely hear Lance Brigg calling plays sometimes. So, like, I just find it hard to believe at certain times that a ref is going to be able to be 100% sure that that's what he heard, and he's confident enough that I'm going to call a penalty, and it's going to be a 15-yard penalty. And that, I feel like that it's a big deal. And I feel like when games start next year, and if they do, I don't know if they officially pass it, but if they do, it's one of those things. It's like at the end of a game and a kicker's on the 30-yard line and someone drops the N-word and they get that penalty, move them back, you miss a field goal, your team doesn't make the playoffs all because of that. How are fans going to feel? Like, I feel like as a competitor, I don't want to win a game like that. I don't want to win a game when a ref, he thinks he heard something. And I understand where the league is going, and we're role models, and they don't want that in our game. But it's one of those things that no one ever hears really a lot of. Like, you don't hear, you can barely hear what's going on in the field if you're watching on TV, unless someone's mic'd up or something like that. It's just something that I'm curious to see how they're going to be positive about making these calls.
Very compelling points. Hey, Nate, thank you so much. Good luck getting the knee right, and according to Nate, we should be seeing him really soon, right?
And good luck in the tournament, Nate. I'll see you in the finals, bro.
All right. And after we win, I'm going to be begging to get back on the show so we can talk again.
Don't get scared now.
You guys, thanks for having me on.
Fair enough. Good stuff. Nate Collins, the newly signed Bears defensive tackle. He's back next season coming off the ACL. Nate brought up some great points about the officials and what they have to do. Coming up next, we'll break that down with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. Plus, it's Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Light them up. The best caller of the next segment wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority via your question for Tom Thayer. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Zach Zaidman, along with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We're moments away from playing Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. All you have to do is call up, get the best football question on your mind, ready to go for Tom Thayer. And the person that's got the best question is going to end up winning a gift certificate to Sports Authority at the end of the segment, courtesy of the judge, Jim Miller. But before we get to your phone calls here at 312-644-6767, I want to kind of recap some of the stuff that we heard from Bears defensive tackle Nate Collins, including he said that someone could potentially lose a valuable game because a referee might have misunderstood what a player said if they're throwing out certain kind of words out on the field in the heat of the moment. What do you guys think about that kind of stuff?
I think it's a silly responsibility to be policed by the officials. I think that's something that's always taken care of itself on the field. And again, I don't think you have time to ever have a long-winded conversation or an insult battle out on the field. It's just something that it could be said and passes in time like wind or something. I mean, but you know, I just think the responsibility put on officials is really taxing, and that was just it doesn't deal with the game itself.
Yeah, and we've touched on this before. I think it's, you know, one, it's already a part of the game. There's already a rule that we brought up. The officials do have to enforce it, and I think it's all falls in the line of sportsmanship. You know, if anything's unruly or goes across the line, the officials should be controlling the game anyway. And I just think, as Tom mentioned, respect for the game, respect for your opponents, your coaches, everything falls in line. It's all part of sportsmanship. And I think if somebody crosses the line, then the officials have to do their job. And that rule is already currently in place and enforced in the National Football League.
I think they're giving too much credit for time because, again, the time isn't there. And if there are players that have a long-winded confrontation, the officials there are to break it up or they do throw a flag. So, I mean, just I think they're just trying to pay so much attention to something that isn't a significant part of the game.
And, Tom, you and I have seen it. Again, why are the officials there? They're there to control the game. If it gets out of hand, Zach, bottom line is those officials just have to go to each sideline and say, Coach, here's your warning. Here's your warning, Coach. If I get one more thing from any of these players, they're gone, and you eject them. That's how you take control of
right.
the game. And so that's their job. That's why they're there. The rule's already in place. If they aren't enforcing it, that's their fault, and that's the league's fault. So they got to step up and do their job because we all know the officiating was atrocious around the National Football League, and that's why at the owners' meetings next week down in Orlando, half of the rules that they're even looking in the past right now, it all deals with officiating because they did a terrible job in 2013.
It happens. It's one of the things that they've talked about is to perhaps get full-time officials, and that's also run into some issues as well. But before we get to all of that kind of stuff, guys, it's time to play Ask Tom. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. We go rapid fire. I go to you, and then you ask Tom your question. Meantime, Jim's got the legal pad. He's taking notes, grading you. And at the end of the segment, he will award a gift certificate to Sports Authority to the best Ask Tom question. Here we go. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Joliet. Jason, Ask Tom.
Jason, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, sir. It's an honor to be on your show.
Oh, thanks for calling. What do you got for a question?
Oh, well, I just have, just something to speak on, and maybe I'll just, you know, hear your words afterwards. It's something about Nate Collins, what Nate Collins said. Before, I used to agree with the rule of the N-word rule. And now when I heard Nate Collins speak about it, and, you know, it has nothing to do with I just don't want to see games hurt over the N-word rule. I really don't. I think it's sad because the referees, they have a lot to do. They really do, you know. And to have a game end over that, I really think that they should change it. It's just not good.
You know, Jason, I agree with what you're saying, but, you know, Jim Miller says it best. There is a rule in place that the officials must have to enforce. Now, because all they have to do is every year they have a meeting with all the players in training camp. These are the points of emphasis this season, whether it's illegal hands or cut blocking or whatever the case may be. All they have to do is come to every player that's going to get a tryout in the NFL saying, look, this rule is in place. We're going to enforce it 100%. You'll deal with your coaches if we deem that you're responsible for the infraction called. And that's the case. Boom. Jim's been saying it the right way for the last 5 weeks. There is a rule in place.
Ask Tom continues with Ken in Lakeview on Bears All Access.
Ken, how you doing?
Hey, good, Tom. A question for you. You know, watching a lot of games now, the announcers are saying that when a defensive player crosses the neutral zone, that offensive linemen are being taught to grab the defensive player and get an automatic encroachment. Doesn't it make more sense that they should be taught not to grab the lineman, get the neutral zone infraction, and get a free play?
It's something that what started a few years ago when they just, you know, it's every time the offensive line goes to the line of scrimmage, they are saying, hold your water, make sure you don't jump, don't listen to any of the counts on the defense, and that's trying to show the discipline side of it. But then when you start playing in stadiums where you cannot hear any commands out of the quarterback, the crowd noise is so loud, then it's just offensive linemen trying to take advantage of defensive linemen in the neutral zone. So, you know, a free play, free 5 yards, is that's what they're trying to get. I hate the neutral zone infraction if the defensive lineman is able to get back. But sometimes with those offensive linemen just jumping out of their stance, they're just taking the easy 5.
We go next to New Lenox. Tom, ask Tom.
Hey, Tom. Hi, how you doing?
Real good. I have a question. If they move back the extra point to make it a 40-plus yard field goal, do you see them moving back the 2-point conversion, maybe back to the 5 or 10 yard line? Because teams are just going to keep doing the 2-point conversion. It's going to be worth it because the success rate's around 70%.
You know, that's a good question. I think that's what Jim says is going to happen when they start discussing all these changes at the owners' meetings. They'll get something figured out. You know, I'm a purist. I don't want to see anything changed. I know that there's such a simple routine that you go through and kicking the extra point, but, you know, it's still part of a routine. You still need a talented long snapper, holder, and a kicker. You need the proper protection. So I may disagree with the owners out there trying to figure out ways to change the scoring or the routine of the game, but the routine of the game has been pretty successful now for over 90 years.
Guys, it comes down to this. One last participant here on Ask Tom. Eric in Mokena, you're on Bears All Access.
How you doing, Eric?
Hey, pretty good. Tom, being a former lineman, you know, I feel that you appreciate all the hugs. And, you know, last year, the Bears, you know, we didn't have a high expectation for our offensive line, you know, with two rookies, with Mills and Kyle Long. Basically, I was kind of wondering, you know, last year we didn't really run the ball very well. Do you think they can improve on that? Because, you know, Cutler kind of sometimes struggled with the passing game, and do you think the Bears can increase, you know, their effectiveness with the running game next year?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. I think if you really wanted to give the offensive line a grade on their run performance, it would probably be a C-. But I do think you can go from a C- to a high B+, and, you know, hopefully an A by the end of the season marches on, if they are able to keep those 5 guys in place. And, you know, I think last year in the beginning of training camp, when Jordan Mills was able to unseat Jamarcus Webb and it opened some eyes and understood the seriousness of Aaron Cromer and his evaluation process is every day, every play, every snap. And I think that's a key ingredient to the success of the team, is being able to get a competitive situation up front offensively, and then you get the dynamics of the design of a running game that's very specific. And I think that takes a lot of time, as much as learning the language of the offense properly.
The segment is called Ask Tom, but the winner is decided by Judge Jim. And now Jim Miller comes in to award a gift certificate to Sports Authority to the best caller of the segment. Who was it, Jim?
I'm going to go with the last caller, Eric in Mokena, because just like what Tom said, you would like to think from year one to year two, and that offense was pretty special a year ago, I could see some great things in that run game. So I'll go with Eric.
Eric in Mokena wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Nice job, Eric. Thank you for all those participating. We'll do it again next week at 312-644-6767. When we come back, Devin Hester is going to be ridiculous in a different uniform. We'll explain next with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Speaking of the Bears, this is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Zach Zabin, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Devin Hester making it official today, agreeing to terms with the Atlanta Falcons. I bring this up because the Bears visit Atlanta during the 2014 season. The schedule doesn't come out until later on this spring, but they're going to face him. Lovie Smith is going to be coming to Soldier Field at some point during the 2014 season, so it's going to be a reunion of sorts. But when it comes to Devin Hester, there have been few players that you guys have ever seen that can do the things that he can do. You know, he's taken a lot of heat for it not working out as a wide receiver. But, Jim, when you look at him as a return man, I still think he has the ability to make people pay.
Well, there's no doubt he's special. And, again, you know, this could be a signing that the Atlanta Falcons, they may regret. Because you know what's on the ticket down at the owners' meetings? One of the proposed rule changes, they want to now kick off the ball from the 40. Can you imagine that? I mean, these kickers will be nailing it through the end zone. So, again, there's almost – and it's sad because it's punishing great players in what they can do, like Devin Hester, or teams that invest in their specialty like the Bears did, or like think of great returners like Leon Washington or Joshua Cribbs throughout the National Football League. Because if that rule is proposed, that could essentially make Devin Hester ineffective for the Atlanta Falcons. He's a tremendous player. There's no doubt he's a game changer. Hopefully that's not the case, because I'm like Tom, I'm a traditionalist, and I go back to the return game is probably the most electric play in football. What have we seen in the past two Super Bowls alone, 47 and 48? Jacoby Jones taking it to the house versus the San Francisco 49ers, and then how about Percy Harvin last year sticking the dagger in the Denver Broncos when he has that kickoff return? So it's sad. I hope that's not the case, and we'll see what happens at the owners' meetings. But tremendous player and a game changer in Devin Hester.
You know, one thing about Devin Hester, too, is one thing that's going to be fortunate for him throughout the remainder of his career is that he cut his teeth as a returner in the most difficult outdoor stadium in the NFL. The conditions that he had the ability to catch punts and catch kickoffs in, he's not going to see that for half of his games being in the indoors. So that's one thing where Devin may surprise you in a punt return, because the catch is going to be very consistent. And so that may be, you know, they may catch a bolt of lightning in the home games and then some of the comfortable stadiums that he does play in outside of Atlanta. But I think going to an indoor stadium after being in Chicago, he's always going to be warm. He's always going to be fresh. It's not going to be him trying to stay loose on the sidelines. The atmosphere is going to contribute to Devin being an older player, being, you know, more physically, you know, ready to go when his chances come up.
Tom, another thing that I want to bring up is, since the Bears are now going to be seeing Julius Peppers twice a year with him signing on with the Green Bay Packers, we heard something interesting coming out of Lambeau Field, that Peppers was going to be used in different ways. Now, the Packers defense is very different from the defense that the Bears play. When you heard that, what came to your mind upon hearing that Peppers went there, what they're talking about in terms of how to use him?
You know, the defensive coordinator who likes to have an active front and put people in their best position when you have a guy like Clay Matthews. So now how can you use other assets in your group to feed off of what Clay Matthews can contribute? Now, they're talking about Julius as an exclusive pass rusher on the outside opposite of Clay Matthews. You know, he's going to have some one-on-one battles that he's going to have to win immediately, and that's what they're looking for out of him. But again, when you look at a defensive lineman and the honest evaluation is if you don't play well on first and second down, play physical against the run, play physical against the point of attack, play physical against double teams, you know, you're just – you know, you're just going to be another part of the defense. From what I saw of Julius Peppers last year in an honest evaluation, I think he's at a stage where he's very blockable if he's not determined to win battles on the line of scrimmage himself.
And it's extremely hard, I think. They say that when you play the defensive line positions, it's hard to bring it every single snap, but you need to in order to succeed.
Well, it's interesting because my latter years with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Dom Capers was our defensive coordinator there along with Dick LeBeau, and we had Greg Lloyd on one side and Kevin Green on the other. And that's where I see, much like Tom just pointed out, that's where I see Julius Peppers playing. Because when you look at him, he's got longer levers. Kevin Green had longer levers than Greg Lloyd, who was the speedster. And so, for him, he should be able to jack up tight ends, ride them down the field in coverage, but yet you could still run a Sam Will blitz like we always did with Kevin Green and Greg Lloyd on the other side.
Got exciting Bears news coming up next in terms of what special teams is going to look like, and another Bear becomes an ex-Bear. We'll explain next here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Zach Zaidman, along with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. And Tom, we'll start with you here. Corey Wooten's agent has just tweeted that Wooten has agreed to a one-year contract with the Vikings, so he will not be a Bear after coming off and having a couple of good seasons, fighting through the hip injury last year, playing a variety of different roles with all the injuries. So Corey Wooten, another Bears defensive lineman, ends up going to another team in the NFC North.
Yeah, you know, I guess congratulations to Corey, because you go out there and you seek your best opportunity if you achieve the opportunity. And that's what Corey's able to do. And he's always fought hard to earn his spot, earn a position, and earn playing time on the Chicago Bears. And so that's a talent he's still going to have to continue to cultivate in Minnesota. Now the scenario is going to be a little different because it's the stadium, the transition, and there's a lot of change going on up there. If he accepts it like a veteran and goes out there and practices and plays hard, he'll be a key ingredient for the Minnesota Vikings. But, you know, it's always work in progress for Corey, where he's going to have to continue to improve to get the respect of his teammates and his opportunities on the field.
And when it comes to offense, Earl Bennett, no longer a Bear. Marquise Wilson, Jim, is going to have a greater role. And let's talk a little bit about Dominic Hixon, because he could play a major role, too, in regards to special teams and being an extra receiver for Mark Trestman's offense.
Yeah, and I brought this up about him, that he was actually a pretty darn good returner for the New York Giants until he blew out his ACL, and that set him back when you look at Dominic Hixon. So Dave Gettleman is now the new general manager of the Carolina Panthers. He realized that the body frame was good, so he spent last year in Carolina, and I think that's how he's going to fit in with the Bears. One, he brings in competition, but let's say those receivers get a little nicked or a little bruised, they're all somewhat similar in the same body frames when you look at them. What I mean by that is Hixon is above 6'2". He's a big guy, much like Brandon Marshall, much like Alshon Jeffrey, and I'd even throw Marquise Wilson, who needs to put a little weight on. There's no doubt about that, but he's got a good body frame on him, too, in terms of guys that can play above the rim. So provides a little depth, and I think in terms of interchangeable parts, it's similar guys when you rotate them into the lineup.
And that height thing's a big deal. I was looking at the Bears division, and when it came to all the teams that the Bears play, the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings, none of those teams have a defensive back taller than 6'2". And you just listed the basketball player size guys that the Bears have catching the football. It's exciting to think what they can do next season in year two of this offense. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, guys, it was great. I'm Zach Zaidman. Greg Miller, our executive producer, Herb Lawrence, Joe Ostrowski on the other side of the partition, saying so long. Another edition of Bears All Access comes your way next week right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.